the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe is a national institution, so which is under the Minister of Finance, which is a Kwango under the Minister of Finance. So it has to account to Parliament, which is why he had to come to Parliament. And the idea of avoiding the involvement of politicians as in the minister was actually attempted, because that's the reason why the minister didn't present this particular monetary policy or effort to Parliament, but the governor himself. So I'm saying that was an effort to remove the politics out of it and just focus on the policy itself.
Mr. Chitambara, can you chip in there? Mr. Chitambara, what's your view on, you know, having politicians, you know, running the economy instead of maybe the RBZ governor? Is it possible really to actually get rid of politicians in the economic equation?
No. You can't get rid of politicians in the economic equation, because what politicians then do is to provide what we call a vision. They are actually supposed to enunciate the vision. Then the technical guys are the ones that now run with the vision. They implement the vision. So we need the politicians to guide us in terms of the direction, in terms of the vision. Then we, the technical people, would then run with that vision and implement the vision. So you can't really separate the two. The politicians are there to provide a framework in which the technical people can then implement strategies to actualize the vision that would have been defined by the politicians.
So now, Mr. Mangwana, do you see any role that ZANU-PF is playing right now in terms of printing these bond notes?
Of course not. ZANU-PF has no role whatsoever. The basic issue is ZANU-PF deployed people, as in the minister, the people running or charting the vision, to quote Mr. Chitambara's phrase there. So it's not ZANU-PF involvement involved in any of this, except that the minister's political party is ZANU-PF. That's all.
And Mr. Chitambara, let's look at the international kind of scenario. What happens, really? Are they autonomous?
With Treasury? Well, there are a number of systems, really. In some countries, they have actually quite independent central banks, and that, of course, they ultimately they report to the Treasury. But I think what most developed countries have done is to ensure that there's a greater levels of autonomy, so that actually central banks can actually come up with policies. Obviously, those policies, they have to complement the fiscal policies that are announced by the Treasury. But in most countries, actually, there is some degrees of autonomy in terms of how central banks actually work, how they actually come up with their policies, which policies will need to complement the overall developmental thrust and macroeconomic thrust of the government.
And Mr. Mangwana, do you see any kind of, let's say, you know, an autonomous central bank in Zimbabwe?
It is possible. I've already called the central bank a kwango, meaning a quasi non-governmental organization in that regard, but it is a governmental organization. The central bank is so focused on the monetary policy, and obviously the government, or the Minister of Finance, which is the exchequer, on the fiscal policy. The two cannot be separate, because they have to complement another. One has to feed into the other. But still, having said that, in Zimbabwe's case, where we don't actually have our own money, there is no way you can simply say have an autonomous central bank that does its own thing. Even in here in England, the Bank of England still has to feed into the policy that Mr. Osborne come up with. So there is no way it can be completely out there and does its own thing when the government's vision is there doing its own thing. The central bank, yes, is advisory to the Minister of Finance in that regard. So that's exactly what exactly the same role Mr. Mangudla plays
So now, with politicians, Mr. Chitambara, playing that kind of key role, so at the end of the day, how can you fix the Zimbabwe economy? People always say, you know, the ruling party is dabbling into wrong things, like, you know, looking after the economy and all those kind of things. How do you fix it?
How do you fix the economy? I think what we need to do, obviously, we need to have an institutionalized framework for social dialogue. I think when you look at countries that have gone through challenges that Zimbabwe is going through, countries like Singapore, countries like Ireland, I think one thing that really stands out is the ability of the politicians to bring together on board the various social partners into what we call a social contract. So I think what Zimbabwe needs right now is a social contract that brings together government, business, labor, and the communities to actually reach a consensus on what needs to be done to address the key binding constraints that are militating against the efforts of government to achieve sustainable humane development. So I think for me, we need to go that route of having a social contract where we bring together on board all those stakeholders so that they are not working at cross purposes against each other, but they are actually working in unison.